This is St. Louis on the Air from St. Louis Public Radio. I'm Elaine Cha. Most of us are familiar with the term Midwest nice, but have you heard of Midwest emo? I initially assumed that meant anything emo with Midwest origins. It turns out I am wrong. And to help me understand what it actually means as a sound and a sensibility, and to talk about their latest EP, Changing Course, we have all three members of St. Louis's own Inches from Glory. Blake Mickens is the bass guitarist and lead vocalist. Blake, welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
We also have CJ Schreiber, who is the guitarist. Welcome to you, CJ.
Thank you.
And last but not least, of course, is Marty Aubuchon, who is the drummer and backup vocalist. Welcome.
Yeah, thank you so much.
And thank you all for joining us today.
Of course.
So music genres, you know, they tend to come in waves or in eras. And in prepping for this conversation, I realized that emo hit kind of a high point among Gen X, which I am, and millennial musicians. And all three of you would be considered Gen Z, which is a generation younger than millennial. What was it, or who was it maybe, who introduced you all to emo first as fans? Marty?
I'd say just like the video games I grew up with.
Oh,
honestly,
okay.
Like the music that would play.
Yeah.
Burnout 3 Takedown. That's mm-hmm. a good one. I listened to that entire soundtrack like so much.
Okay.
Played the tar out of that.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. What else? That like BMX versus ATV game. Mm-hmm. Like those were so good.
And you guys are nodding. CJ, was the same thing for you?
I actually didn't get into emo or really come to understand that genre at all until Blake kind of forced me to.
Oh, okay.
And so, but yeah, I was in the same MX Unleashed, mm-hmm. Oh my goodness.
Skate 3,
yeah. Okay.
All that.
And so you were the person who offered the tutelage, Blake.
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah. How did you come into emo music?
I think the big one for me was I was very active on YouTube in mm-hmm. like 2011, 2012, when I was like in middle school.
Mm-hmm.
And so a lot of I had been taking like bass lessons for a while. Like my bass teacher was really into Green Day. He showed me Green Day.
Okay.
And so I got into like the kind of punk stuff from that.
Mm-hmm.
And then YouTube's algorithm just like kept driving me deeper and deeper into like underground like punk music.
In the bio on Spotify for Inches, you describe your sound as emo from the Midwest, but not Midwest emo. So again, I admit I'm relatively new to at least talking about this genre. So I mean, what does Midwest emo mean, you know, and how is it different from emo that happens to be from the Midwest, Marty?
I think of Midwest emo, I think of like this way more like it's less polished. It's more like something you would see in someone's basement.
I mean, Blake, what does Midwest emo sound like?
Yeah, I think that really the unpolished thing is very much part of it. But I think like in a larger sense, it's a little bit more intimate. It's a little bit more like somebody's speaking out like to you specifically. Mm-hmm. It's a small kind of like, it's a comfy music. And I think like the aesthetics of it also breed that. And just like the way it sounds, it's very like nostalgic, very like ethereal, kind of dreamy. Some Midwest emo can get like a little yelly, a little screamy. With us, I think we may have started as Midwest emo. I think that's like a place that we began. But I think we were kind of like where we are now, leaning a little bit more into some heavier directions, some more polished places. I wouldn't say we're like, you know, getting to be like a hardcore band or like a metal band or anything, mm-hmm. but we are, you know, taking a little bit more of that kind of like raw aggression type of thing in there. And that's like just something to like distinguish from that kind of more ethereal Midwest emo mm-hmm. type of sound.
And I read Twinkly, which is which I recognized after reading that. And this is a great segue to your latest EP, and it is called Changing Course. It came out in November of 2024. Let's begin with the first song on Changing Course. It's titled Quiet. And that was Quiet, the first track on Inches from Glory's latest EP, Changing Course. So, Blake, along with most of the songs on this album, you wrote Quiet, and it opens with, "Count my blessings, I don't have many left. I use them to chase a dream I knew I'd never get. Now I'm empty and feeling the effects of my naivete and lack of self-respect." To me, those lyrics express pretty heavy disappointment, kind of bleak, right? I see you sitting here. That is not what I get from you. So are these lyrics then, are they drawn from, you know, a specific situation or something that happened? What was the inspiration?
For that song specifically, I wrote Quiet in like 2021-ish. So like it's a bit of time away from that, from the writing process. But I think at that time, I was just like viewing my art and what I was putting out into the world as kind of this like failing project, you know? And just like, I mean, the band was going and things were like, we were doing okay. People that came to our shows seemed to like us, but I wasn't really seeing much growth, and I was starting a bunch of other projects that didn't seem like they were getting off the ground in any capacity, and I was just feeling like, oh man, this whole art thing, this whole making music thing, it's not really like doing the things that I wanted it to, and I'm feeling like I put a lot of myself and a lot of my energy into it without getting a whole lot back.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's just a feeling that a lot of artists can get, but it's something that I think if you just like you push through, you see the results on the other side. And I think that we're at a point now where we're starting to see, you know, some growth and some change in that. And I'm feeling a lot better about the music I'm making. And yeah, I think that song just kind of came from a space of like just apathy towards my own like creations. But I think in turn, it helped me make something cool in and of itself.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So the second track on the EP Changing Course is one that was written by you, CJ. And this song is called Bugs. Let's hear it.
Don't have to remind me.
That was Bugs by Inches from Glory. And I'm joined here by the entire band, drummer Marty Aubuchon, bassist and lead vocalist Blake Mickens, and guitarist CJ Schreiber. We're discussing the group's latest EP, which is titled Changing Course. CJ, you wrote Bugs. It is a much faster and harder-hitting song than that first track, but it actually flows seamlessly out of the track before it. Tell us a little bit about the creative process with that. I mean, were Bugs and Quiet written in tandem, or did you hear Quiet and say, oh, I have a perfect follow-up to that?
It was written as much not in tandem as it could have been. Like, it was, we wrote Bugs, like, we had recorded the EP, and I was just, like, listening to it, and at the time, I was, like, I only ever listen to, like, full albums if I'm, like, going to the gym or something, and So I would have a lot of just, like, full albums that I would listen to, and things would flow seamlessly mm-hmm. into one another, and mm-hmm. it was just, like, it's one of those things where you always think about it and it's like, yeah, that sounds cool. Somebody else is going to do it though. And so like, yeah, like, but I really wanted to try it because it was like, you know, it just felt like listening to the EP. It was just like song, 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 song. And like, and it felt like it would be doing a disservice to things to let it be that like kind of staggered, like not staggered, I guess jagged with, you know, between songs. And so, yeah, it was really mostly an exercise of just, like, trying to make this EP feel like an EP and not just four singles.
Oh, mm-hmm. okay. So. Right, right. Marty, you're the one who composes all the drum parts mm-hmm. for Inches from Glory. And on Bugs, you're beating the hell out of those drums, right? Mm-hmm. When you heard that track, were you imagining, like, squashing all those spiders that got inside?
Well, I mean, this, like when we recorded this, I'll preface, they showed me this song like the night before. And it has like, and it has like rough drums, you know what I mean? But I was like fresh into fatherhood at this point. Like I have a year and a half old mm-hmm. right now. And when we did recording, he was maybe like 6 months old or something like that. I don't remember. I was just so exhausted.
Right,
but,
right.
But I was at a point where I'm like, okay, I'm getting the swing of things. I'm also like being a parent kind of puts life into perspective. I was like, I don't want to.
Absolutely.
I don't want to just put half of myself into things. I'm going to apply myself to this. I'm going to practice. And I'm just going to be more myself with it. Like, because okay. that's been what's working. So, yeah, we get to recording it, and I just kind of played it over and over and over again. It was really like a stamina workout, honestly. Mm-hmm. And then it just took like a week. It was like my cryogenic time chamber, like Dragon Ball Z. I just went in one, I came out the other side, you know, doing that fast, like hard-hitting drumming. I feel like I've always had the propensity to do that, you know, mm-hmm. at shows, just go crazy, like just kind of let loose and see how far I can push myself. Mm-hmm. I mean, I love feeling like that.
It's really, I mean, it's interesting in that you're sharing so much of what your personal experience has been, Marty, and mm-hmm. for both you, CJ, and Blake as well. Does it take much to get to that place of vulnerability when you're working together, or do you just find that making music together is kind of an outlet for things when you need it to be?
Mm-hmm.
CJ or Blake?
I think it's at this point, we've all like been in this band for a decent amount of time. It kind of just comes fairly, fairly naturally. I mean, we're all really good friends too. I mean, I think that we just have the ability to kind of like have that understanding that, you know, in order to make the best music, we have to be incredibly like real with each other and incredibly honest with mm-hmm. Ourselves and our bandmates. I guess CJ's the most new to this, but he kind of came into that fold like pretty immediately.
Yeah, you were ready for it, CJ?
I was going to say, I've had the opposite experience.
Oh, really?
Like, My degree is in jazz composition, and writing jazz is so much easier because it doesn't have to be about anything. It can just be out there. This is weird. Like you listen back to music you wrote, and it's just like, man, that's cringy. Like I was upset about that, like of all things. And like going back and listening to the songs that I was like writing when I first joined Inches, I'm just like, ooh, man, don't love thinking about that. But then it's like, you know, at the same time, like, I feel like it's been pretty easy to get over lately. Like, I've been listening to Bugs, and I'm just like, yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, yeah. Now, the third song from your EP is called Ghost Stories. And, Blake, before we listen to this, what is it that inspired Ghost Stories?
A really bad breakup. Okay. But I guess in a larger sense, it was definitely fueled by, you know, this kind of pretty, I would say, traumatic breakup in that sense, but more the feeling of trying to hold on to something that's not there anymore and feeling like, you know, you're reaching for a ghost per se. And that's kind of where the name comes from, just like this this old apparition of feelings and things that you want to hang on to that just aren't really there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And with that, let's hear Ghost Stories from Inches from Glory. I just want to feel real. Be more than just the ghost inside your walls. Then I'll disappear. Lose parts of me until I'm gone. Feels like and that was Ghost Stories by Inches from Glory. It's one of five tracks on the band's most recent EP, Changing Course. Now, producer Maya Norfleet said she really likes the switch in the beat that we just heard. And she said she imagines that's sort of where the tone shifts from taking on, you know, the onus of a fading relationship to looking at the other party and saying, hey, you've got something to do with this too. And actually, this is my favorite song on the album. Is Maya on to something there? I mean, does the arrangement of the music sort of reflect the storytelling of the lyrics, Blake?
I think, like, it does, but from a very subconscious level. I don't think I went into this song thinking I'm gonna change the tempo and have that be like the point where the story shifts or like the perspective shifts. It just kind of happened naturally.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that happens just like a lot for songs that I write. You kind of just like follow the emotional characteristic of it. 'Cause I always write music before I write lyrics. So that modulation, that shift in like tempo, just kind of is something that I always enjoy putting in songs. It used to be a little bit of a cliche in some of the older Inches songs, but I think I've honed it in a little bit more.
Mm-hmm. Now, the final song on Changing Course is called Deep Below. Let's hear that.
So what did you think, Desmond? I bet after the teacup ride, you don't want to shoot yourself with that nasty revolver anymore. Do you feel any better?
Yeah, I guess.
Oh, that's great. Charlie, we did it. Successful mission.
For a bit, and it ended. Like good things always do.
Huh? Well, yeah, but nice things can't last forever.
That's exactly it. One of the best parts of life, really, just finding momentary distractions to keep yourself busy so you don't think about the harsh realities of life for a second.
Thank you. And that was Deep Below, and it's the final track on Inches from Glory's latest EP, Changing Course. So we heard the beginning of this song, and there's dialogue. And to me, and I brought this in, it screams ennui. Where did that dialogue come from, and why start the song with it?
I'm gonna put on my my big brain producer hat for this one.
Okay,
sorry.
CJ.
So, I mean, there were a lot of things that were going on in this song that I kind of felt like I needed to sonically reproduce what I was hearing. It was kind of lyrics that were reminding me of something very depressed and mm-hmm. I was trying to find as many ways to recreate that as I could with the feedback that was in the song, the thought of being so overwhelmed by the loud sounds that you're creating that it's just creating this
coming
loops
back
and
to
stuff
you.
Like that.
Mm-hmm.
But it didn't really feel like it was enough to really get that point across. And so I was why not just hit it right on the head and just take this dialogue from this scene. It's from Smiling Friends. It's this episode where the entire time they're trying to make this guy smile so he doesn't kill himself.
Oh,
and then
boy.
At the
okay.
end, they're at the very end, they're look at all the fun we had. And he's just it doesn't matter, we're all gonna die and I'd rather get that over with anyways. He finds his purpose after that, but that doesn't really matter with what the song's about.
Emo music.
Yeah, exactly. It's well, and also, honestly, this was the song that was throwing me for the biggest loop when we were recording and trying to actually make this album or EP sound cohesive, because it's mm-hmm. Everything else on this was very these really nice like emo major 7, the minor 7 voicings and stuff like that. Like, it was all sitting around the A string, and then this was very much drop C sharp, butt rock, Breaking Benjamin, but
yeah, in a sense.
Like music that I was listening to in middle school. And it was just how do you connect those two things? And it was very mm-hmm. much just you have to just kind of flip it on its head and be like, mm-hmm. hey, we're dramatically shifting, changing what you're listening to right now.
So you all have been very busy performing across the city, and you mm-hmm. recently played the 314 Punk Weekend at Platypus, and that was the Sunday night, which was emo night. The music scene in St. Louis and the relationships between musicians, venues, and fans is something that genuinely interests me. And the range that I saw for that small part of 314 Punk Weekend that I got to see was really interesting and frankly was encouraging. What opportunities like 314 Punk Weekend, what do those kinds of opportunities do for the music scene from your perspective as an artist, Marty?
I mean, I think it just, adds a bit of, legitimacy to the whole thing. I mean, everything is legitimate about you creating music and outsourcing, what you're dealing with. I mean, it's your creative voice. That's legitimate. But it is really cool to feel like this community is coming together
mm-hmm.
and to be a part of something, right? Like this has been a constant for me and Blake. I mean, CJ is new to the DIY scene in general, but we're all seeing something kind of new, I think,
mm-hmm.
Especially just with the scene we're in.
Yeah. Well, and in full disclosure, I must confess that 314 Punk Weekend, it was my first time seeing emo or punk or hardcore live. And it is such a different experience than hearing it out of even the best speakers or best headphones.
Mm-hmm.
Now, for those who are emo curious, is there anything that they should know before going to their first show, things to be prepared for, or just myths that you can dispel before they go out there?
Bring a chair. It's going to be really chill.
Okay.
I'm kidding.
Do we fold it up and do anything with the chair? How about earphones or
mm-hmm.
earplugs?
Ear protection
is a big one. I think that's, any loud rock show, even if it's not at a big venue,
mm-hmm.
I think even if it's at more, especially if it's not a big venue, things can get very, very loud. I think one thing just for any type of punk show to be aware of is people will be moving. People will be seeming like they're, going crazy and that it's a problem. But most of the time, it's just people letting loose, getting, you know, getting their energy out, and everyone's really cool. And mm-hmm. that's like the purpose. People, if somebody falls, people pick them up. There's always, you know, everyone's trying to keep everyone safe.
Well, you can catch Inches from Glory tonight at Blueberry Hill Duck Room in the Loop alongside other St. Louis bands, Family Money and Uncanny Valley. And if today is too short notice, then put April 12th on your calendar. That's when Inches from Glory will be performing at Platypus in the Grove with Interpersonal, Neighboring Villages. Both of those groups are also from St. Louis, and Snooze, which is touring from Chicago. You can find details on our website. That's stlpr.org. Blake, CJ, Marty, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And
thanks
congrats
for having
on the
us.
Album.
Awesome. Appreciate it.
This episode was produced and edited by Maya Norfleet.
Audio engineering by Alex Hoyer.
This podcast was mixed and edited by Aaron.
Our executive producer is Alex Hoyer.
St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. Understanding starts here.
Do you find yourself regularly listening to episodes of St. Louis on the Air? Suggest us to a friend you think might enjoy our conversations. And leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts on the App Store. It's the simplest way to help people discover our show. Thank you.
St. Louis Public Radio is a member-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis.